It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. I'm your host, Derek Brown of FTNFantasy.com, joined as always with my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about waiver wire targets for Week 11, players that you'd be getting on your rosters for the stretch run for this week. You probably have to start them in fantasy. Adam, what's going on, man? Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I feel like this time last week, we were just not excited to talk about waivers. It was probably the worst week of the season. This week's not great. It's probably the second worst week of the season, to be honest, but it's a little better, so you're a little less bummed to talk about some of these players, but no, I mean, we're in week 11, man, so it's like any sort of avenue to where you might be able to help your team out, and there are some players that can help, you need to at least be exploring it, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of players we're going to talk about, and whether it's this week, maybe a spot start, a guy that I'm going to bring up that people are not, it's not on the radar. I know your eyes popped open whenever I added him to the outline, so we're just got some guys that are going to help you at various points, whether it's stretch run, whether it's this week. Before we get into all of that, I got to bring this up, man. Before we start talking about players, we get off the rails, I get loud, and I get stupid. Before we do all of those things, got to mention this here, man. We got a brand new package over at FTN Daily. Got to push here. Lineup Edge Optimizer package is fantastic. And regardless of whatever sport you're playing, whether it's NFL, NBA, PGA, MLB, DFS, back when baseball comes back, all these different things, our optimizer can help you build better lineups on the regular. And this package is fantastic, dude. Like, it's starting at $49 a month. You get all these sports. You get roster percentages, projections, all these things to help you in DFS. And this is how you build your bankroll, Adam. So I wanted to let the people know this is just a brand new thing for us. So got to get the good word out there. Sign up with the promo code FTNTV. Get 15% off of every month. That's every single month, not just a one-time thing. Promo code FTNTV. Let's walk through some of these players that we got to talk about here, Adam. I want you to kick this off with a guy that we've talked about, like whether it's Dynasty Circles. You and I were really high on the Bears passing offense, and now we see the breakout, baby. It's Justin Fields time. Tell me why you want to pick up Cole Kmet.
Yeah, this is more like, tight end, obviously, if you don't have one of the, and it's weird, right? Because Kelsey's been better lately, but it's like Waller's been up and down. Kittle's been back, but there's still like 5 to 7 tight ends you feel good about. I mean, TJ Hockenson just played 5 quarters of football and didn't catch a pass. So, but still, like, if you're just kind of streaming the position each week, or you're looking for somebody that has upside, like we talked about, I mean, Cole Kmet coming off a game, and it seems like forever, but it was 2 weeks ago on Monday night, where Justin Fields, that was his game where he was like, I've arrived. And like, you and I weren't off Justin Fields because we've been high on Justin Fields forever, and we're not going to, a couple games where he struggles, we're not going to be off him. But seeing him play how he played in that game, especially in the second half, just makes you feel so much more excited about the Bears pass catchers. Maybe not Allen Robinson. He had a season high of yards last week, and it was 68. Like,
everywhere I turn, and I got to bring this up because you had David Jones on the podcast for the DFS game by game, and like everywhere I turn, I've got to hear all of this Allen Robinson shade. Like, if anybody's been tuning into the FTN Daily streams, David's words on Allen Robinson were blasphemous, man. Like, he's a scrub. He's a jag.
Oh, he's whatever. Allen Robinson's amazing. It just hasn't happened this year. And the reason I say that is because we're in week 11. I don't think it's going to happen this year. And a reason exactly. Why, and I'll, you know what? While we're here, I'll just pair two Bears that can be added off waivers because I got to get Darnell Mooney in here. Darnell Mooney.
Is he still out there?
Yeah,
like, is that still a thing?
Yeah, I was on the Fantasy Pros podcast on Monday talking waivers, and we talked a lot about Darnell Mooney. And look,
good Lord, I got to look this up.
Cole Kmet coming off a game where he led the Bears in every receiving category, 8 targets. I think he had 87 yards. And you look at his numbers. I mean, is he going to get Travis Kelce, Darren Waller type usage? No, absolutely not. If he was, and if he did, he'd be available in way less leagues, way fewer leagues. But he has seen now at least, I believe, it's 6 targets in each of his last 3 games. And again, the Bears offense, the passing game looks a lot better. Jimmy Graham this time last year was like legitimately playing more than Cole Kmet, especially in the red zone. And yeah, they'll call Jimmy Graham's number occasionally in the red zone. They did that last week. But on the season, Cole Kmet, 83.3% of the snaps. Jimmy Graham's only at about 23%. And then Cole Kmet's run a pass route or a route on 74% of dropbacks. Jimmy Graham's only at 17.5%. Then you look at the talent we talked about. They're using Cole Kmet down the field, and Justin Fields is showing what he showed in college, that he's a very good deep ball passer. And the matchup against Baltimore week 11, like beginning of the season, they faced Kelce, Waller, Hockenson, and we were like, okay, are they really bad against tight ends, or are they just struggling against the elite of the elite? And now it's just like they can't cover the position. I mean, we saw CJ Uzama go off against them. They're bottom 5 or top 5, however you want to look at it, and missed tackles. So their defense, they have that name reputation, but they're not playing well right now. So Cole Kmet, I like a lot. And then Darnell Mooney, he's led the team in targets every game. Dude, Justin Fields has started except for one, and that was last week.
My eyes were just popping out of my damn head because I didn't want to believe you, because I think it's just insane at this point that Darnell Mooney's even out there. So I had to go look it up. Like, I want to make sure we're giving people actionable info here. Things they can go to their league and actually do. On Yahoo, he's 46% rostered. Like, what in the absolute hell are we doing here, people? Like,
and waivers why? Run, and waivers run tonight, and I still don't think the number gets over 60%, honestly.
That's crazy.
Because the Bears offense has been bad for most of the season. But Darnell Mooney, he's had more targets than Allen Robinson every game mm-hmm. that he's played with Justin Fields, except for last game, where they both tied with, I think, 6 targets. But Mooney has the deep ball role. He's been better than Allen Robinson. He's getting more end zone looks than he got last year. And like I talked about all offseason, talented player, gets open. They even gave him a wildcat run, I believe it was. So it's like, yeah, like Mooney and Cole Kmet, I like adding from Chicago. The schedule, I think they have Baltimore, then they have Detroit after that. And Detroit, they lead the league in average depth of target allowed, and they're a bad defense. That bodes really well for Darnell Mooney, especially with Justin Fields coming into his own. So yeah, 2 Bears starting off the podcast. Didn't think we'd get there, but you have to be encouraged about what you're seeing.
I mean, I love the Cole Kmet call, and it's not to say that I don't love the Darnell Mooney call. I just think it's blasphemous that he's still available in this many damn leagues. You know, so 12-team leagues, maybe he's rostered, and that's where we're getting a lot of this. But like, even in 10-team leagues, I can craft you a lot of easy narratives, just like Adam just did, to pick him up, that you need him on your roster. But like with Cole Kmet, I think it's a fantastic call, man. And I looked him up. I wrote him up on my Dynasty piece that just came out a few hours ago. Love that call. Because Cole Kmet, the thing about it is, for all the reasons you stated, also on top of that, he's 8th amongst all tight ends in target share with 19%, Adam. And I know that number is puffed up a little bit because the Bears have not been throwing. The neutral script passing rate has been terrible. The last 2 weeks, they're letting Fields throw a little bit more. And he's looking damn good when he's doing it, too. So those are things you got to love. And he's being used down the field, too. As well as you talked about the matchups, Baltimore is fantastic. Yes, Detroit. They get Arizona, who's really good against tight ends. But after that, I mean, Green Bay is outside the top 20 in DVOA. Minnesota is a tough one. But then you get Seattle is right at 20. The Giants have given up production to the tight end position as well. I love the Cole Kmet call, man, because here's the thing. He just walked out of last week being the tight end 5, people. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet. Hasn't. And he's getting red zone looks. He's got, I think, like 5 of the last 4 games, somewhere around that region. When the touchdowns come, on top of the yardage and the usage, the tight end one week, the top 10 weeks.
Look at what Tyler Conklin just did last week. It's the same case. He was a really good yardage player for the majority of the season, but he hadn't scored.
I think you make a better case for Cole Kmet. Like, Cole Kmet could be what? The number 2 in this offense? Easy?
But I'm just saying, like, when the touchdowns come, then and everything kind of clicks. And Tyler Conklin, yeah, the yardage went down in that game, but he scored twice.
That might have been a name we mentioned last week, too, Adam.
Yeah, and I think it's a very similar situation with Cole Kmet, except Cole Kmet's a more talented player, and I think he has a better chance of, like, Tyler Conklin's, I think, seen at least 5 targets in, like, 3 straight games, but it's been, like, 5 on the nose. Cole Kmet has upside, especially if the Bears throw it more, to see 7 to 9 targets per game, especially because Allen Robinson, I haven't seen anything about it because they've been on a bye, but he left that game late with a hamstring after that 39-yard catch. I haven't seen anything. Hopefully he's fine. But if he misses time, then it's okay. Oh, the Bears are throwing. Okay, it's Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney.
Yep. I love that call, man, because he's literally getting 6 to 7 targets on a weekly basis. He's getting like the baseline we want for tight ends and stuff like that. You know, like 4 for 40. We always joke about that. But like,
yeah.
If he gets in the end zone with a 4 for 40, he's probably a top 5 tight end in the week, any different week. So the touchdowns have not been there. They're they can be there because before, and I wrote this up like numerous times last season during the year, the Bears utilized their tight ends in the red zone. Like Jimmy Graham, you talked about, like, this is a fact. People, like, there was a one time, what was it, the first 10 weeks of the season, Adam, somewhere around there, Jimmy Graham was top 3, top 5. Hell, he led the NFL in red zone targets.
He got like 3 of them on Monday night two weeks ago.
I mean, but this is all to talk about, like, yes, like, there's certain noise about certain schemes and teams and things like that, and people are like, okay, well, the tight end usage and blah, 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 blah. Nagy has involved the tight end, and it's been a staple in the offense since he's got to Chicago. You saw Trey Burton when they first got there, and then we're seeing Cole Kmet now, Jimmy Graham, and especially in the red zone. The lifeblood of tight ends, we talk about it all the damn time, Adam, is routes and touchdowns. And Cole Kmet has a path to both of those. He's already getting the routes. All we need is the touchdowns. So love that call. Think he's a fantastic guy for the stretch run. I'm going to get this guy in here early because I want people, everybody's tuned in, they're watching right now, and they want to know the good names. I want to get the good word out there about Tre'Quan Smith. And I know that people are like going to eye roll and maybe they're saying, you're being too cute with this. The Saints are a run-first team. They're not passing the ball. He's getting targets from freaking Trevor Siemian. Okay? I can't tell you that you're wrong on any of those data points. This is also an offense that's struggling to find somebody to lead this passing attack. They have to throw at various points in the game. They're not just going to throw 15 times a game like the Eagles and Bears and what have you try to do in the previous weeks. If they throw 20 to 25 times, 30 times in a game, you need Tre'Quan Smith on your rosters. And I understand the target share has not been fantastic, all these different things. It's the guy coming back and still working back into form, Adam. As a guy, his snaps have trended up every single week, 91% of the snaps. And he's getting the good money looks, man. He's playing the slot role for New Orleans. Over 60% of his routes have come via the slot. If you look at Tre'Quan Smith's end of season schedule, Adam, his final 5 games, and I want to cover all the way to the end of the season because it's a weird, man, weird year. We have extra game. I don't know what your league looks like. I don't know when your playoffs or your championship is. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to sit here and give you good info. So if you're playing in the last week of the NFL season, kudos to you. We're going to talk about it. Tre'Quan Smith, the last 5 games of the NFL season. These are the slot corners that he gets, Adam. Michael Carter for the Jets. 72% catch rate, 95 passer rating. He gets Ross Cockrell. And even if Sean Murphy bunting, I'm sorry, Kyle Murray, but this is true, comes back. Go. He's not good. Ross Cockrell, 75% catch rate, 131 passer rating. Miami, Nick Needham, 78% catch rate, 103 passer rating. Carolina, AJ Bouye is giving up an 88% catch rate in the slot. Basically, you throw at the slot and it's caught. That's what happened to Carolina, people. And to conclude the season, he gets the Atlanta Falcons. Avery Williams, 75% catch rate, 124 passer rating allowed. Please tell me, where in those 5 games is there a slot matchup that you do not want to target on a team that is screaming for a number one pass catcher? And I'm sorry, at this point, Marquez Callaway has shown he is not that dude. Getting easy looks inside over with a quarterback that wants to throw in the short and intermediate areas of the field because he can't throw deep. Tell me why we shouldn't love Tre'Quan Smith for the stretch run of the NFL fantasy season.
Yeah, and Sean Payton talked Tre'Quan up after their game. He said he's been really impressed with him, how he's been playing. And like you'll see like Deontay Harris's name floated around. If you're picking up a Saints receiver, it's easily Tre'Quan. Deontay Harris is playing like half the snaps and running half the routes as Tre'Quan and Marquez Callaway. Obviously, Michael Thomas is not coming back this season. Alvin Kamara didn't practice all week. And Ingram still had like a 20% target share last game. They're going to throw to the running backs because Siemian is not throwing the ball down the field. But the other thing is, Tre'Quan Smith in the past has been occasional deep targets. If he catches it, great. But like you said, he's playing the slot, getting more like intermediate, consistent, easily converted looks, and that's huge for him. So I think he's probably going to fly under the radar this week in waivers, but that schedule is really good. And even that Atlanta game, right? Even if he's not in the slot in that game, he'll probably see Fabian Moreau, who's been awful this year. So
CeeDee Lamb just took his lunch money.
Yeah, I talked about that in the DFS pod, and it was very nice to see it happen within 5 minutes of the game starting. He scores on Fabian Moreau. But yeah, Tre'Quan, very, very, very overlooked, I think, right now.
Dude, nobody wants him, and I get that the Saints are not passing the ball a ton, but we're looking at a guy that he could easily be the number one target in this offense, and he's been super efficient with whatever looks they've given him so far. So he's coming off a season high in targets. He's scored in two of the last four games and been a top 36 wide receiver, and this is a guy that nobody's going to want. This is a guy you do not have to spend up. He is probably out there in leagues, and I'm going to sit here and pull this up right now because I want to know the actual percentage because I don't want to lie to people at home.
I'm going
to
guess 15%.
Oh, I think it's lower than that. Yes! 3%, baby!
Okay.
He's out there everywhere. Spend your $2 in Fab and get Tre'Quan Smith right now. Before we transition off another player, just piling on the Tre'Quan love. 129 passer rating when the quarterbacks have targeted him in New Orleans. That's good, people. Seems really, really good. Seems like a player that could get more targets down the stretch. Staying in the wide receiver position, Adam, tell me why we got Elijah Moore's name, because we brought him up. We brought him up, and people still don't want to pick him up. I don't get it, man.
Yeah, and I'm just glad we don't have to talk about Rashad Bateman anymore. But Elijah Moore, Elijah Moore, obviously, like, you can make the case he's the number one player to add if he's still out there. He's been great the last couple weeks. Granted, it's been a couple garbage time touchdowns, but guess what? It's the Jets. That's going to happen a lot this year. And the only thing I will say about Elijah Moore is with Corey Davis back, like, his snaps and routes were like half of Davis and Jameson Crowder's, but like the Jets are bad. Like, how do you not just play Elijah Moore over Crowder at this point? He's got at least, I think, six targets in four straight with an eight target game sandwiched in between. So go get Elijah Moore. We got Elijah Moore and then the other receiver you're going to talk about from Dallas. Who would you rather have? Because for me, it's the Dallas receiver, but it's close.
It's close.
By the way, we're talking about Noah Brown.
Oh, dude. Oh, Dallas and those receivers this year. Man, there's been Cedi Wilson leaks. Oh, Lord help us. Injuries have been terrible. But yes, with injuries coming back from injuries, got to get Michael Gallup in here. Michael Gallup or Elijah Moore, dude. I think the upside play is got to be Moore, right? But like,
here's how, like, I broke it down.
Zach Wilson is coming back. He's bad.
That's like the X factor, because like Mike White's been throwing the intermediate stuff. Like 50% of his passes are from 0 to 9 yards, which is classified as a short pass. And like when it's, you have to look at it both ways, because when Zach Wilson was healthy to start the season, Corey Davis was his guy, especially in the preseason. He was looking to Corey Davis every play. But Elijah Moore was hurt in the beginning of the season and wasn't playing a full-time role. He's still not playing a full-time role, but he's obviously playing way more than he was to start the season. I think Elijah Moore has a better chance of getting 7 to 8 targets consistently the rest of the season, because Gallup's in a situation in Dallas where you have CeeDee Lamb as the one, you have Amari Cooper, you have the running backs. And we've seen a lot of games where Dallas's defense is making plays and Dak only has to throw 30 times. So when Dak's only throwing 30 times, it's going to be like last week where CeeDee Lamb goes off, but Amari Cooper and Gallup don't come with CeeDee Lamb. But the offense, the touchdown opportunities, the upside as a player in their offense obviously favors Gallup. So it's very close for me. I think it's team dependent. If you need somebody with a weekly decent floor that you can trust to get targets each week, it's probably Elijah Moore. But if you're a team that has really good, you know, receivers that you're comfortable with every week, and you're looking for a high upside flex and a great offense, I would probably lean Gallup.
So I look at it differently, man. Like you're saying the ceiling play is Gallup and the floor play is Elijah Moore, right?
In terms of like targets, I think so. Yeah.
So I view it the opposite way. I think Elijah Moore is the ceiling play for the rest of the season. Like, he's the guy that if somebody were going to step up, even with Corey Davis there, and we see rookies ascend down the stretch, it happens every single season. he's the guy that if the routes do come up, and as bad as Zach Wilson has been, if the routes do come up, if he starts getting more targets, we know the Jets defense is terrible. They're going to be throwing the ball. They've actually been decent with pace. And this is taking a leap of faith with Zach Wilson, but I think the raw target volume on a weekly basis on the upside for him to see 8 to 10 targets on a weekly basis is there. Yes, can Corey Davis obviously kibosh that? Sure, but I mean, Gallup's got two guys atop, on top of him that can kibosh that as well. So I think Gallup is more of I could see myself down the stretch run. I think the ceiling lies with Elijah Moore and the target upside he could see in the offense. But the other side with Gallup, it's not to say I don't like Gallup. I do, because I mean, I put his name on this list, man. I mean, good passing offense. He got a 16% target share in his first week back. And we didn't see him play a ton of snaps. He only played 53% of the snaps, but he was out there running a route on 63% of Dak's dropbacks.
Major blowout. So
yeah,
I was.
Thank you, Matt Ryan. I actually played you in DFS. Damn you, Matt.
He knew.
I'm not going to get off on a Matt Ryan tangent. I'm not going to do it.
Matt
today.
Ryan absolutely knew that you played him. That's
every damn time, man. There are certain people in DFS, so like players, where you're like, oh, all right. The numbers say to play him. The numbers say to play him. And then you roster him and you're like, why did I do it? Just why? And there are certain players that like every single time, I'm like, Adam, come on, tell me you know this pain. I don't want to get off this on a tangent too much, but the Matt Ryan tilt is always real for me because I just can't get it right, man. I don't play Matt Ryan. He throws for 303 touchdowns. I play Matt Ryan. I get the Captain Shitpants version of Matt Ryan. Every time, without fail, man.
Yeah, I have some play. It's more so basketball for me that I have players like that. But you look at Gallup and Elijah Moore, both have really solid rest of season schedules, especially a lot like Gallup has the Chiefs this week. Then he has, I think, two matchups with Washington, one with the Giants. Elijah Moore has Miami, who's been better lately. The last couple weeks defensively, but then he's got Houston, New Orleans, Miami again, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay has not been good in the secondary, so it's very close.
It's close. I think it just, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. It's roster dependent. I do like you talked about, I like Gallup's schedule a good bit. I mean, the Chiefs have been a little better, but then you also have New Orleans sprinkled in there, which, I mean, I'm not saying that the Saints haven't been a good defense, but they're also allowing the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Like, Paulson Adebo has not been good. Marshawn Lattimore can be beat. Like, for as good as Lattimore is, he's extremely streaky. Like, he's a type of cornerback that can shut dudes down for like 2 weeks, and then he gets burnt on deep routes the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's not like Tre'Davious White, who just doesn't get beat. You know?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, not everybody can be liquid, not everybody can be water, okay? It is what it is. So, you know, we all can't be living the Tre'Davious White life, man. On to other players before we get off on a freaking Bills tangent. We've already had one rant about the Falcons today. We are not going to Bills country. I'm not letting us. I'm even mentioning it now. We're already there. Damn it. Ramondre Stevenson. Everybody's talking about him. I've been talking about him for weeks. We've mentioned him on the waiver wire show. How many times, Adam? How many times on best ball streams did I talk about Ramondre Stevenson? How many times? And my exposures reflect this.
You said he has the best chance to be the Rex Burkhead, LeGarrette Blount combination, and that's what we saw last week. He wasn't playing on third downs really, but he was catching passes and he was operating as the clear lead back. So that was essentially exactly what we saw from Ramondre Stevenson last week.
I've tweeted it multiple times, man. LeGarrette Burkhead, I dub thee. Like it is what it is, man. He's gonna get passing game work. He got that last week. He's going to get red zone work. He got that last week. And I don't want to anger the Damian Harris truthers out there, because Damian Harris has played, he's played well. Tell me when you watch him, and the metrics, like Stevenson's missed tackles force, Damian Harris has been up there too. When you watch these two guys, Adam, which guy screams to you that he has the juice? He can make plays behind this offensive line, and he could bust long runs, and he has the upside. Is it Damian Harris when you watch him on the game film, or is it Ramondre Stevenson? I'm curious.
I mean, to be fair, I think it's kind of both, but
don't no, I'm serious. Take the,
I'm serious. Damian Harris has played well this year.
You just don't want Damian Harris truthers in your mentions, and I get it.
No, because Belichick came out and they asked him like about Ramondre's performance, and he basically said it's really nice to have running back step in when the main guy's out. I still think Damian Harris could be the main guy, but at the end of the day, you have to pick up Ramondre Stevenson because it's a run first offense behind an elite offensive line, which we talked about all offseason. This offensive line, even losing Joe Tooney, is very, very good. And Ramondre, when he's gotten carries this year, has just been really good. You know, as long as he doesn't miss a pass protection or fumble, he's going to be on the field. And I think there's a chance that Damian Harris goes from in games where New England is in control, getting 20 carries to maybe he gets 14 and Ramondre gets 8 to 10. But also, they play on Thursday night this week, so there's a chance Damian Harris isn't back. Mm-hmm. And then you get another week of 20 carries from Ramondre Stevenson at home, I believe. Either way, they're against the Atlanta Falcons, a great matchup. They probably won't be trailing in that game. So, yeah, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, obviously rest of the season has potential, but for this week, he might get the start again.
I like him, man. I think that the upside play for the rest of the season, again, we're talking about, like, there's so many different outs with New England. Like, can Damian Harris keep the job? Sure. Could Ramondre Stevenson also factor in and get the bulk of the work? I think that's equally possible as well. And this is not shade for Damian Harris. Like, I know it might come off like I'm shading him previously. He's played well this year. But for a guy that we know what his role is, he's not running a ton of pass routes. Stevenson has the upside to do what he did last week, man. Like, you could name on one hand how many 20-touch games on the ground that Damian Harris, I believe he has 2 this season. And I might be shooting high. It might be only 1 without even looking at his game logs right now. And Stevenson walks into last week, he gets 24 touches? Like,
yeah, that upside is fantastic. I think his snap share and touch share was higher than Harris had ever seen last week.
That's because he could play in all facets of the game. And that's why I think, like, if New England is looking for juice in the backfield, they're looking for a guy that... Because right now, the Patriots offense is absolutely telegraphed what they're going to do on a play-to-play basis. Damian Harris is out there. Okay, they're probably going to run the damn ball. Brandon Bolden's out there. Okay, we're probably going to pass the ball. And I talked about this in the preseason, man. Ramondre Stevenson has the ability to mask both different things. If he's going to run routes, what he's shown you in the pass game, and that he could be competent, and they're willing to feed in volume, he is the guy that can play on both different facets and give some multiplicity to this New England Patriots offense. So that's the upside play I'm going to go with, man. I like him rest of the season. If you got room, please stash him. And I'm going to bring up another guy here, moving this over to tight end real, real quickly, that I don't understand why he's even still out there, Adam. Like, but again, I'm seeing Dan Arnold in a lot of different places where he is not as highly rostered as he should be. I mean, right now on Yahoo, he is 27% rostered. Like, how is that actually a thing for a guy that, look, since week 5, 19% target share. He is averaging 7.4 targets per game, 5 catches, 57 yards. He's doing all of this stuff, and he hasn't scored any touchdowns yet.
I was literally about to say, it's the same thing. Regression. Guess what? He hasn't scored, and he's probably going to score. Although Trevor Lawrence has, what, 5 touchdowns since week 1? He's been absolutely awful.
He has been, yep.
I hate talking about, like, Jamal Agnew and Dan Arnold as waiver ads. They're absolutely worth adding, but I hate it because it means LaVisca Chenault just... I watched a play again on Sunday. He's just running a vertical route for just to spread.
When he's not getting open either, like they've got him pigeonholed in the worst possible damn
role. It's so bad.
Ever.
He's not DJ Chark.
No.
Why are you?
It's stupid.
It makes it's
bad coaching.
LaVisca Chenault can do similar things to, like, he's not as good as him, but he can do similar things to what we saw from Debo on Monday night, and they just are using him as a flanker, and it's it bothers me, but it's because stupid. They're doing that, and because Marvin Jones is inconsistent with Trevor Lawrence, Dan Arnold and Jamal Agnew have kind of been, after James Robinson, the next players up on offense.
Yep. I mean, you see where the target share is going on the short and intermediate areas. I mean, it's either Swagnew or it's Arnold, man. And we talked about the fact that Arnold hasn't gotten the touchdowns. That hasn't stopped him from being a tight end 1 in 3 of the last 5 weeks. You talk about the touchdown pendulum swings back in his way. Those are not just tight end 1 weeks. Those are top 5 weeks.
Listen, if Jacoby Myers scored last week, everybody's in play. Everybody's in play to get in the end zone.
Like, it's true, man.
Dan Arnold could score twice this week now.
He's got decent matchups down the stretch. It's a good take. I like that. Down the stretch, he gets San Francisco. They're top 10 against tight ends. Then Atlanta, the Rams, Tennessee, tough matchups. But really, it brings it home during the final four games, Adam. Like, he gets Houston, bottom five. The Jets, bottom five. New England is a bad matchup, and then he gets the Colts again, which are outside the top 20 in DVOA versus tight ends. So I don't understand why Dan Arnold is still out there, considering the tight end position and considering the volume that he's getting on a weekly basis. He should not be on waiver wires, but you know, here we are, man. Close us out here, these final two players. You got a running back, and you got a swaggy quarterback that hurt my feelings on Sunday. Who are they?
Yeah, let's get the legend Cam in here.
The pain, man.
Cam pain. Newton, one of my favorite players of all time. So as you were not happy to see him take two touchdowns away from McCaffrey, I was thrilled. The guy played 9 snaps, scored twice, and was the quarterback 16 in fantasy. Now it sounds like he's going to trend towards starting this week. And look, we know the upside with Cam Newton. He can score multiple rushing touchdowns. He's, I think, still like, everybody wants to talk about he can't throw the ball anymore, but like, he's been out of football for a while, and he's had a shoulder injury, a foot injury. Like, he might be as close to 100% as he's been in a long time. And you have DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and McCaffrey in the offense. Terrace Marshall's back from concussion, so the skill players are great. McCaffrey opens up everything for this offense, and he gets a good matchup. Yeah, Washington was good defensively last week, but they just lost Chase Young for the season. They're still bottom three in both points and yards per drive per game, or yards per drive allowed. So, yeah, Cam's going to be in that, like, quarter, for now, like, that quarterback 13 to 15 range, but there's obvious upside for him to get in that, like, 8 to 12 range going forward. And then Dante Foreman, you know, first it was Adrian Peterson, and Peterson still got the start and got the, he did get the short yardage work, which is annoying, but Foreman is just way more explosive at this point of their careers. Foreman led the team in carries, and yeah, Tennessee keeps winning, but their offense is really bad right now. The last 3 weeks, only the Texans and Seahawks are averaging fewer yards per play than the Titans, and they've been getting bailed out by turnovers, like a couple interceptions. They got bailed out by a bunch of penalties last week, and then the opening kickoff of the second half, Deontay Harris fumbles and they get a short field. Like, they're getting really, lucky with these short fields, and it's masking how bad their offense has really been lately. Obviously, no Derrick Henry. Julio's out for a couple more weeks. So they need to get more explosive plays and playmaking in their offense. And I think that's Dante Foreman.
Did you see the tweet that, and I got lots of pushback about this on Twitter, where people were calling the Titans the class of the AFC right now? And I was like,
I saw that.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but the Titans are not the class of the AFC.
I mean,
NFC,
I don't want to be that guy, but like,
they are not the class of the AFC. Well, and here's where I was going. From the record. They're not as good as their damn record.
I don't
want to
be like, that guy, but if Josh Allen doesn't slip, they lose that game. Like,
dude, they're not nearly as good as people think. Like, but outside of like just window dressing, staring at
their offense
record,
I just gave you the number. Their offense is bad.
Their offense is bad. Their defense is not nearly as good as people think. Like, it's literally.
So you think they're playing over their head?
Just a tad. Just a little bit. I will not. There's no way in hell you can get me to say that Tennessee is the class of the AFC. Look, you can point to their record all you want to, and I can point to a million other different stats that tell you they're not nearly as good as you think they are based off of said record. I like those calls, though, man. With Cam Newton, and I think that we're searching for upside. And outside of, we know the rushing production that Cam Newton can have. I felt it in my DFS lineups last week. Playing CMC! That's a 10%.
Dude, how crazy was it that McCaffrey got ruled out of bounds at the 1, stepped out of bounds at the 5, lost touchdown opportunities from Cam Newton. Chuba stole a touchdown. He was in the medical tent on the sideline for half the game. Barely played in the second half because it was a blowout. And still scored like 27 fantasy points in PPR leagues without even scoring.
It's really crazy. So crazy, Adam, because you could have had a 50-point game. That's what keeps tilting me, man. I'm like, not only did you lose one, Those three touchdowns and nobody.
Can I add a player real quick before we get out of here? Because we just got some news actually. Greg Bell, who covers the Seattle Seahawks for the News Tribune. He's a beat writer. He just tweeted about, actually, this was last night. So I didn't even see this. Seahawks are revisiting Chris Carson's situation on Wednesday, whatever that means. Doesn't sound great, though. He says, doesn't sound great, though. So if Alex Collins has been dropped, I guess keep an eye on him. But yeah, I hope, scary stuff, man. I hope Carson's okay and can continue to play football, but he's got to take care of himself.
There are a lot smarter people, and yeah, Alex Collins is only rostered in 51% of Yahoo leagues. So yeah, if he's out there, go pick him up, man. And I understand it's been a committee, it's been a mess. Seattle has not been particularly effective running the ball. All of those things don't matter at the end of the day when it comes down to running backs, because we know Alex Collins is going to get 15 to 17 touches and probably most of the red zone work, if not all of it, for Seattle. In an offense, we think that there are more productive days ahead with Russell Wilson back under center, but yeah, dude. I mean, on Carson real quick before we get up out of here. It's sad, dude. With the neck condition that he's dealing with, I don't know if it's arthritic or not, and there are a lot smarter people in the medical community that also weigh in on Twitter stuff and fantasy and things out there that can comment on this better than I can, but I think there's a real chance. Like, I don't know if we see Chris Carson playing the snap in the NFL, man. Like, with neck conditions and things of this nature, like, it really could be something of that type of level. As much as that, like, there's optimism and people are like, well, but I mean, but he almost played, or they were talking about it. I was like, take all of that with a grain of salt. All of that with a grain of salt, because I will continue to pound the table for the fact that you can't. We all follow injury reports and we all follow these different things. There's also a good bit out there where teams just lie, dude. Like, teams lie. Like, they will take guys off the injury report early. They're still banged up. They show you in their efficiency and their lack of play that they're still banged up. Or players will get in limited practices and stuff like that. And then the game actually tells the tale of the tape, like with Cole Beasley. His ribs are probably more of a problem than we're being led to believe playing limited snaps. So if you want to have optimism for Chris Carson, that's fine. I'm just not there, man. I think this situation with this injury is a lot more of a problem. And I think it's actually like career worrisome, Adam. But what are your thoughts before we get up out of here, man?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I just hope he's okay, because it's scary stuff. And Chris Carson's been one of my favorite running backs in the NFL the last couple of years. So would love to see him get back and just get back on the field. But like, taking care of himself is more important, because like, you can't mess around with those injuries.
Nah, man, I agree. You gotta take care of yourself. And at the end of the day, like, NFL careers are short and stuff like that. These guys have long lives after this to sit there and live and stuff. So yeah, I mean, hope Chris Carson's doing well. Hope he heals up and stuff. Before we get up out of here, dude, if anybody has not gotten into this action, come meet me in the battleground. Head over to topropsports.com. Do it right now, man. Like, my picks on Thursday night and Sunday night have not been going well. I took Darren Waller and Tyreek Hill. I got buried. Thank you, Derek Carr, for that. But if you want some action, you want all this smoke, head over to topropsports.com. I'm going to be posting more head-to-heads in the battleground. That format is fantastic. Head-to-head contest that you can create for yourself. Lines are set for fantasy point scoring. So like, just like the other night, I had Darren Waller. I think it was 3.5 versus Tyreek Hill. I took the L on that one, took the L the previous week before that. I'm just taking all kinds of L's. So if you want free money, apparently, head over to Top Prop Sports and fight me in the battleground, man. Use promo code FTN. Let's match your deposit, or they give you 10%, $10 if I can get this out right now. $10 when you sign up over at Top Prop Sports. So Adam and I are going to be back tomorrow discussing trade targets before the Week 11 action kicks off. Until then, for Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeifer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.